Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Clifford Rozier, Adam Keefe, Joey Devine, Ramil Robinson, Vincent Askew, Sean Keane, Billy Ray Bates, Anthony Bonner, Patreons, Alex Toledo, thank you Alex, Jack Brazil, thank you Jack, Colin J. Dixon, thank you Colin, musical guest, Loverboy! And now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back after the All-Star break with a brand new episode! I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, America's newest dog owner, Sean Keane. Just in time, your new dog, Pinot Noir, has decided to make itself known. I didn't want to misgender your dog, Sean, so...
Pinot Noir is female. A male dog would have been named Draymond, although we don't know if that would have continued after he punched Jordan Poole. Doesn't matter. Female dog. You can kind of see her in the background. It is her first day in the room where I record the podcast.
She sounds great. She's very young, just a few weeks old.
Yeah, she was born on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
She's the Jason Tatum of puppies.
Sean, full disclosure to our listeners, we recorded parts of this episode last week before the All-Star break and parts of it now.
We didn't have to admit that, but I like that you did.
No, I'm going to admit it because there's an entire Mike Love section about Kevin Love that we have to cut. because of news. I don't know why we thought, oh, none of these guys will sign over the weekend.
I think we can keep that
one in. Okay, all right, all right. Then, well, you know,
I don't want to cut this Mike Love discussion. We'll just put in a disclaimer that we did record this
before he signed with the Miami Heat.
We had some questions about it before he signed. We were pretty sure he was signing with the Miami Heat. Like, that was pretty clear when he got bought out. But we're going to talk about some completely unrelated things about Kevin Love and his family.
Mm-hmm. Also, we should mention regarding last episode, it's rare we have to do this because we are, of course, infallible gods who know everything. But we do have a correction.
Look, I know that Sean and Joey seem like they're incapable of making mistakes. But it's not true. Even gods make mistakes, which Sean and Joey definitely are. They made me say that. So here is a correction. That's right. We're doing corrections now. Everyone does whoopsie sometimes. Well, not me, because I'm a robot. Here's a correction.
All right, Sean. So last episode, we had an extensive conversation about who the tallest rapper is.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow we knew the answer and then somehow forgot what the correct answer for who the tallest rapper is. And our friend Henry Drexel sent us, I would say, the funniest email we've ever gotten. reminding us that we knew. So, Sean, should we intro who the tallest rapper is?
We should.
It's, of course, this guy.
Call me Mike Jaws of the best kept secret. Coming from Atlanta where the Hawks stay screeching. I got 3 goals and I ain't talking about a hat trick. 1, win the championship. 2, make a smash it. 3, have a baby with my lady, then some grandkids. These other rappers shake he Charles backswing. Trying to find the recipe, I call him Plankton. The flow so appealing, best rapper in the league. Aw, man, what a feeling. Showing y'all I can spit. What up, Shaq, Charles, Ernie, Kenny, the Jet Smith?
That's right. It's Mike Jaws. Mike Miscala is, of course, the tallest rapper at 6'11".
Yeah. The only athlete, however, to go platinum with a rap album is, of course, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
But he's so much more than a rapper.
Yeah,
I think of him more as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, he's a businessman.
Yeah, not a businessman.
Yeah.
Wait. Maybe he is a businessman.
He is a businessman. Oh, you're right. Shaquille O'Neal is a businessman. Sean, I guess we should mention it real quick before we get to some mail. Did you enjoy the All-Star weekend?
You know, kind of.
Because I did not.
I liked the dunk contest.
Yeah,
it was my dad's birthday, so we were over there, and, well, do you want to get into it, or do you want to talk about, let's talk about this.
Let's talk about Warriors legend,
Mac McClung.
Horst's cousin, Mac McClung.
Horst's cousin, the cousin of course, Riff Raff, a.k.a. Horst. He saved the dunk contest, which happens every 3 or 4 years.
Every 3 years, somebody saves
the dunk contest.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes the dunk contest doesn't really have a chance when they do it like between quarters of an All-Star game because of COVID. They had no chance in that one. Like, that's not really the dunker's fault. Last year, maybe the dunker's fault, maybe a little bit Juan Toscano-Anderson's fault, but at the same time, do you kind of think we set our expectations for the dunk contest a little high?
Well, the one thing I do want to talk about is, like, there's a certain weird thing when they mention who's playing, who's, like, in the dunk contest, where, like, every year someone would be like, yeah, great representation of the league. Derek Jones Jr. is in it. We used to have a proper dunk contest.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Vince Carter and Kobe Bryant and all these famous guys were also young players. They weren't those guys when they were in the dunk contest, too.
Yeah.
Like, the last time famous guys were in the dunk contest was, like, Michael Jordan. Like, it's yeah, been it this was way like, for 30 years.
It's been a really long time. I mean, Vince Carter was, like, a famous rookie, but he was still a rookie. Blake Griffin was famous, but he was a rookie, right?
He was a rookie. It's just,
I mean, it was his second year, but
where
yeah.
when they announce the players in the, like, there's a non-zero chance Trey Murphy's an all-star. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And he was really good. He was the guy that was the most maligned. But also the things that were bad in the dunk contest were actually kind of good. Like, okay, so Jericho Sims tried to do the Vince Carter elbow dunk.
Yeah.
And he didn't really get his arm all the way in.
Yeah. And then sort of cheated it and got his armpit in.
But it's funny that people try that. And then him writing a card that gave himself a 50, but being unable to open the envelope and then tearing it so part of the 50 was off.
Yeah.
That's a legendary dunk contest moment. It's such a bad idea. It's such an elaborate execution that was whiffed, and he was like hanging on the rim when it happened. So like, that's great.
Yeah.
I thought the Grand Theft Alvarado dunk was really good.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Like, usually those things, people do not pull off surprises like that. Usually they are heavily telegraphed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kind of think people have this belief that the dunk contest has been something different most of the time. Usually it's kind of random whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, usually it's almost like Baron Davis pretending to be blindfolded. Like,
right.
And guess what? That's great. It's really funny.
Well, and like, I feel like the format they have now where they do two dunks in the early rounds and two in the finals is just fine.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they could have a couple more dunkers. That's the only thing I would say. But like,
but if you add more dunkers, you we'd be pro this. You're opening the door up for more clown bad stuff. But we like that. That's our favorite part.
Yeah.
John Collins, and, you know, airplane dunk. Greatest dunk of all time.
I also like that Jericho Sims responded to people making fun of himself by like a selfie of him on a tropical island.
Yeah. It was great.
That rules. Yeah.
Dunk contest was great. I guess we should talk about how awesome Mac McClung was. He was great. Uh-huh. Again, the
Warriors
only thing,
legend.
The only thing that could have made it better is if he was teamless. If he had to wear that high school jersey the entire time.
Oh, that would have been great. Or like doing it for the Delaware Blue Hens only. Blue Jackets. I'm sorry. They're the Blue Jackets.
Anyway, I skipped ahead to talk about the All-Star to get All-Star talk out of the way. There's one more thing we should probably mention, Sean.
Uh-huh.
And that is, get Karl Malone the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah.
No, he was a bad dunk contest judge. It was bad. He was there all weekend. Like,
uh-huh.
Fuck you,
I
dude.
I mean, yeah, like being a surly judge and also like not really known for dunking.
Yeah.
Like Jamal Crawford. Okay. He's not a dunker, but he's also like delightful.
Yeah.
And he loves he's like a, you know, he's been running a basketball camp for like 15 years. Yeah.
He's a great everyone dunk loves contest
him. And like, just like a, and then like, I loved having Harold Miner back, baby Jordan himself.
There just was a very obvious guy that Utah Jazz have a dunk contest hero, one of the great dunk contest dunkers of all time.
Jeremy Evans. Are you saying? The guy who painted a picture of himself dunking. One of the great dunks of all time.
Yeah. There's just no reason he shouldn't have been the judge.
I'm going to look and see. I just want to make sure this guy is alive. Yeah, they should have had Daryl Griffith do it, too.
Yeah. Like, fine. Anyway, yeah. Just no more Karl Malone.
No more
Karl Malone. Even this guy is better. Like, he's also terrible, this jazz legend, and we all hate him, but at least we can make fun of him.
A virus cheating us of this opportunities. It's the guys making decisions saying, no, no, we're too scared. We're going to shut everything down. Sit in your house and be careful. My kids and my grandkids hearing these things and accepting them as truth. And when I know by my significant amount of research that it isn't, and it's very frustrating.
I've done a significant amount of research on Karl Malone and have decided he should never be at any NBA sanctioned event ever again.
I was blown away that they brought him out for that ceremony with Kareem and LeBron. Mm-hmm. Like, that was insane.
Yeah.
And I heard a rumor that when LeBron learned that, he punched a whiteboard in the locker room and he injured his hand. And that's why he couldn't play in the second half of that game. But he didn't tell anyone until he'd already lost, though.
Also, I want to mention the NBA screwed something up, our favorite thing, the celebrity game. I'm sorry, but if a celebrity hits a half-court buzzer beater that is like 2/10 of a second past, even 5 seconds past the buzzer, that should still just count. The Mike the Miz was robbed.
It would have been the greatest moment in celebrity game history. We're going to a video review on that? Like,
just call it good and make the Miz the hero. Like, that was ridiculous.
It's just, I think it's ESPN. Like, TNT understands how to be silly and celebrity. Mm-hmm. The ESPN is, like, just too forced. Like, they're trying to be too cool about it. And I don't know. I'm going to have a Patreon podcast about this. I just want to mention one thing on the regular cast, Joey. They did an insane thing in the middle of the celebrity game.
Mm-hmm. Was it when they picked one Asian guy and said he looked like Simu Liu?
That was really racist. And the celebrity lookalike cam just undid all the work Utah did pretending not to be racist for a full week. They had a shootout for charity with Dwayne Wade and Ryan Smith. Now, first of all, anytime anybody is shooting for charity at the All-Star game, they're going to miss a million times. It always happens. But they set it up and they did a full 3-point shootout. They each took 25 shots. It was a minute and a half for each person, and it was $3,000 to a cancer charity. So Ryan Smith won because he hit 11 and Dwayne Wade hit 10, which is already like embarrassing. Uh-huh. But also, Ryan Smith's net worth is like $1.5 billion. He essentially paid like $60,000 to make an entire arena and a national TV audience watch him shoot 3-pointers. And honestly, like, how much would a gross billionaire pay for that? Like billions of dollars.
Yeah. And also we already have one 3-point shooting owner, and it's Robert Pera. Ryan Smith, find a new lane.
With a backwards hat. And he raised $33,000. And they made so that's 1/50,000th of his net worth that he donated. But essentially, no, he just paid for the experience of, like, personal fantasy game. And everybody had to watch it. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to do that behind closed doors. Don't make America watch you. Like, oh, that was so gross.
Speaking of Sean, gross billionaires, we've got some news.
It's Tillman time. That's right. Texas Tillman, Trump supporter, state house man, and billionaire buyer. Houston Rockets motherfucker. Tillman time.
How does Tillman describe himself?
A motherfucker.
All I do is win, win, win. Tillman time.
Also, Sean, even though it was the All-Star break, our man with the Rockets, Texas Tillman, managed to find a way to get himself in the news over Mardi Gras.
Yeah, Mardi Gras, his holiday. Yeah. He and his family, the legendary crime family of Galveston, Texas, give back to the community that they decimated with gambling and prostitution for a century by hosting a party. And Tillman gets a little drunk. He gets a little loose at Mardi Gras.
His outfit in this video. Like, I mean, look,
when you think Mardi Gras, when you think Mardi Gras, you think Galveston, Texas. Yeah.
Like, I understand it's Mardi Gras, but he looks like he just got off the stage performing at America's Got Talent as, like, a human statue, right?
It's a weird look. It is like, it's like a child's idea of how an adult would look at a party.
Yeah, he kind of looks like one of those silver guys.
Yeah, at the that's halftime, the closest thing.
At the NBA halftime where they like pose on each other. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's the interview.
Okay, well, I know we're not going to talk business, so I'll just say, go Rockets.
Hey, absolutely. We got, thank God we got 10 days off.
Thanks so much.
Pray for victory.
They don't have 10 days off.
Yes, happy Mardi Gras.
Sean, you talked over it, but he says he finishes. No, you're fine. I'm not chastising you. It's just weirdly a quiet drop. He at the end there, he says, pray for Victor. Which, I gotta say, I don't want the Rockets to get Victor Wembanyama anymore.
Nope. I mean, I already didn't want them to do that because they have Sengun.
Yeah.
like, don't get in his way, but there's no justice in the world if Wembanyama comes to the Rockets. Also, you have heard the other constant Rockets rumor, right, Joey?
I don't think I have. Go ahead.
Everybody is saying, don't quote me on this, but they think James Harden might go back to the Rockets in the offseason. Yeah. And because of the Chris Paul negotiated change of the over 36 rule to the over 38 rule, it actually makes a great deal of sense for James Harden to take a 1-year contract this year in free agency, because he can sign a 5-year contract as long as he's not 35 on October 1st. Basically, ideally for him, he would sign a 5-year contract next year.
Great.
And that would be able to take him to like his 39th birthday. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that would be, I mean, I can't, him coming back to that team with Victor Wembanyama.
With any of those guys they already have is weird. Like,
yeah. I mean, he does not really seem like a fit exactly. So, emotionally, spiritually, but he does love the strip clubs of Houston, Texas, Joey.
He
so
does.
You gotta consider that.
All right. I don't want to talk about the All-Star game at all. Do you want to talk about Jason Tatum? All right.
Nope. I mean, he's the youngest All-Star MVP in history, so we should acknowledge that.
He's 19 in spirit. All right. Let's do some reader mail and then do some reader phone calls.
Okay, great.
And then play the Kevin Love thing and then come right back. But great. Reader mail first.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean. Our friend Some Guy asks, as Time Out Entertainment, the Magic were giving out Wendy's gift cards. $10 per made free throw, and the winner could give up that amount for a $500 gift card if they hit a half-court shot. I guess my question is, what's the worst half-court chain restaurant prize?
Ooh. I mean, $50 seems
low.
Cheap.
Yeah.
But also just the place is bad.
$500 seems cheap for a half-court shot. Like, some teams give out $10,000.
Right, for a half-court shot. $10,000, $20,000. But also, you have to risk your Wendy's gift card to even get a shot.
Yeah.
It's
some real DeVos shit, dude.
It's very Amway, I would say. Like somehow the halftime entertainment is like a confusing pyramid scheme, maybe. Like, is there some way that someone doing this can end up owing money to the team? I feel like maybe that would happen. That being said, I mean, also, what a $500 gift card to Wendy's is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, Wendy's, I would say,
I mean, it's fine. It's just,
yeah. I was just like going
to
say
50 trips to Wendy's.
Like, you can get a biggie bag from Wendy's for $6.
That's kind of the hook. Like, a baked potato is not that much. They have a lot. Yeah, their whole ad campaign is like three things for $6 or whatever it is. It just feels like you would have that Wendy's gift card in your wallet for years. And like,
but you know anyway. What? That to me makes it a better prize. Actually. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like having that Danny Ainge Chipotle card.
Right. I guess it does feel like you're getting free Wendy's all the time, but still for a half court shot, you'd be like, wow, I thought I would be able to at least pay rent
like
with this.
Frosties for life. That's what you should be getting.
Exactly. Okay, so what would be the half-court chain restaurant? Now, you and I kind of disagree about the quality of Arby's.
We do, yeah.
And I think it's because I have had two negative Arby's experiences out of not very many Arby's trips. Once they were out of roast beef.
Well, that is insane.
That was very disappointing.
But
and then,
also, secret about Arby's, Sean. My favorite thing on the Arby's menu is actually the buffalo chicken slider.
I mean, I guess I would try that if I would pick. I used to work next to the only Arby's with a view of the Hollywood sign. And the line would be around the block. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's my neighborhood Arby's.
Oh, yeah, it's your home Arby's. Yeah. And I asked about it, and they once, one visit there, I was actually picking up lunch for people as a writer's assistant /PA. And I said, where can you see the Hollywood sign? And the guy's like, it's a questionable claim. okay, but what's like.
So you're going to say Arby's?
No, you I'm think, not going to oh, say okay. Arby's. I don't. I really. Arby's is in the same class as Wendy's. I personally am averse to it, but I don't think it's so bad. No, it's got to be like a terrible fast casual place, I think. Right?
See, I was going to say a $500 green burrito.
Ooh.
Gift card.
Oh,
you can't even spend it at the Carl's Jr. It just has to be.
It only
at
works
the green
on that
burrito.
Half.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, Chick-fil-A politically is the worst one.
Yeah. But people really like Chick-fil-A. I'm not
big
on Chick-fil-A.
People really, it's not worth the moral compromise. I don't understand.
Or the line.
Yeah. Like, like, are we all pretending we're from the South? Is that like what the, like, is on like a Bible Belt reality?
You know what? I think Denny's is the answer.
Oh,
actually.
God, that's the worst. Yeah. Because you'd have to kind of strive. But like even the expensive food at Denny's is bad. And
like
just
no
the vibe
one has
of
ever
a...
enjoyed their time at Denny's
no.
before. Like between normal hours, Denny's is the worst place. It's fine at 3 a.m., but
it is the restaurant of last resort. And even like I've never felt good about it. Like there's always something going wrong. Like and you're locking into. Because, I mean, like, say that $500 gift card is to, like an Applebee's, you know, that's not really that good. At least that's only, like, 10 trips.
Unlimited apps, though, too.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's some, they have alcohol.
Yeah.
Denny's like, what are you doing there?
Yeah, just, the correct answer is Denny's.
Is
it's
Denny's,
something
like,
from Denny's. It doesn't even matter the dollar amount.
You made a half-court shot and you took a year off your life.
All right. You went moons over my hammy. All right. John L. asks, now that he got traded to the Wizards, is Kendrick Nunn still invited to the Bus Moore wedding, or does Rui Hachimura take his place?
100% Rui Hachimura takes his place.
I don't know. Feel bad. I don't think Kendrick Nunn was invited at all. But I don't think Rui Hachimura is invited.
Go ahead, sorry.
The Lakers are too, like, insular, right? Where it's like, once a Laker, always a Laker, but you also have to have been there for more than 2 years. You know what I mean? Dennis Schroeder is invited to the Bus Moore wedding for sure.
Because it's his second time. I like to believe that the entire active roster is there and that someone like Patrick Beverley, who might actually still be invited, is now disqualified because he's been traded. And as much of a terrible idea as it is, D'Angelo Russell is invited to that wedding and he's invited to Jay Moore's bachelor party, which he's probably going to secretly record and ruin the wedding. But, you know, it's Laker Nation. LeBron is all about team activities. Everybody gets to eat a taco on Taco Tuesday. Everybody gets to eat the tacos that Jay Moore serves at his wedding.
Which tables do each of the Lakers sit at during the Bus Moore wedding reception, Sean?
Ooh.
I'll tell you what table I want to be at.
What?
I want to be at the Michael Thompson table. Whichever one he's at, that's the table I want. Champagne and nuts. Table.
What's the worst table to be at?
Well, I don't know if he's at the best table. I mean, because Magic Johnson is also at this wedding. You know that's a good table, too.
But he's going to be sitting with Jeannie and Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you want to sit with Jay Moore.
No.
I mean, the AC Green table is obviously not that fun.
No.
I'm not even sure Vlade has a table. Invited, I think, right?
I don't think he is. He's a Laker villain now.
No, but he came back to the team at the end of his career.
Yeah, but they still hate him.
No way. I don't think he's hated. No, he came in. All was forgiven with the Sacramento era when he came back.
I kind of just think that Jeannie buses, it's like Showtime.
Uh-huh.
Then they skip an era, then Kobe. I just don't Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel. Those guys aren't
Nick Van
Exel's
definitely not invited.
Yeah.
Is Robert Horry invited?
Yes, because he's in the Kobe era.
Uh-huh. Rick Fox is going.
Rick Fox, good table, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good table.
Derek Fisher, bad table.
Oh, that's a bad table, but he's definitely invited.
Rob Pelinka, terrible table.
Anthony Davis, I think, is a bad table, too.
Same. LeBron, I think, also
He starts doing the chicken dance and just goes down in a heap.
I just don't think LeBron is talking to anybody that he doesn't know.
No, he's at a table with Rich Paul and Adele.
Yeah. And
and his wife and his kids sit at that table, too. I do think that maybe LeBron gets a +8 and Austin Reeves has to bring a dish and can't bring a friend.
Old writers would tell you Kareem's table is a bad table, but we disagree. Kareem's table is a good table.
He's just shy. That's all.
Yeah, and it would be fun. You can get Kareem talking about what his favorite Alan Moore graphic novel is, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't talk to him
every
about basketball.
Yeah, he doesn't care about basketball anymore. He retired a long time ago. He has other interests. He didn't even. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Who? Well, I don't know who's single, but do they still do the bouquet toss, do you think?
No. No.
Is Phil Jackson invited?
That is the question.
That's the question. Because I think he is, but I don't
think
he's going to go.
I think he is, too.
I just can't see him going. Unless it's like... Unless it's like a mind game.
Yes! He wants to mind game Jay Moore, dude.
Oh my god.
And he's gonna be getting the worst conversation ever with Pauly Shore. Because don't forget, all of Jay right. Moore's friends are here, too. Yeah. All well, the Theo 80s Vaughn's comedy there. Store people.
Oh my God. Do you think Leno's there?
No, I don't think Leno likes Jay Moore, would be my guess.
Do you think Leno's Jack Nicholson pure. Is going to go?
No, Leno is too pure to like uh-huh. Jay Moore, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What about Lou Adler? Is Lou Adler going?
Lou Adler is absolutely going. Nicholson is not.
Actually, I think she might be dead.
Denzel, no.
He's but I think he's going to send a very nice gift.
Yes, Leo,
and maybe
no.
even a video all message. But they're not going to go.
No, Jack probably would have went, but I don't think Jack's doing so hot.
Also, Jay Moore just lowers it. You know what yeah, I mean? Like yeah. it's it just would be different otherwise. And it's like, you want to go to Jeannie Buss's wedding? Yes. Do you want to go to Jay Moore's wedding? Not really. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey. Just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call. Being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean. Our first call comes from our friend Forrest. You might recognize Forrest from the host of the world's only trivia podcast that is also about the Kingdom Hearts trilogy.
One of our great trilogies. Yeah,
follow him at Do Knots on Twitter. Uh-huh. And here he is. Here's...
Hey guys, guess what? It's Forrest again. You might remember me from being upset about James Harden for a few years running now. So I'm calling because a lot of stuff has been happening lately. It's been a really eventful time. You might hear a little wind on the line. I'm hanging outside with my cat because the weather is extremely nice now. It's a little windy, but it's like 73 degrees. I mean, it was like 32 degrees a few days ago. But, you know, this is Central Texas, so we don't do seasons. We just have weird, psychotic weather. As a note, by the way, about like 30 to 50% of the city lost power because of ice. A bunch of ice formed all the trees, like 2 or 3 tons of ice on every tree. And all the trees came apart and split in half and broke all the lines. So everything is extremely fucked here. It didn't happen in San Antonio so much. They got half the rain we did for no reason. So whatever. Great. I didn't have power for 5 days. But now I have power again, so everything's fine. Texas is a really cool place. It's even cooler now. It's even cooler now because Kyrie Irving is finally where he belongs, on the Dallas Mavericks. This is news about which I could not be happier. I love this. As everyone knows, I'm the one Rockets fan. And also, I'm from Houston, which means I fucking hate Dallas. I hate Dallas with every little bit of me that's in there. Every pound of me is 1 pound of rage at the city of Dallas. For any amount of joy or recognition it gets should be mine instead. And what makes me happy about this is that Kyrie Irving is a, well, he has some bad beliefs. He has some beliefs I don't share, and I think that are toxic. And I think it's probably the fairest way to say that. And I think Mark Cuban also one of those guys. And Mark Cuban, additionally, has aided and abetted sexual harassment in the workplace, at the very least. So I have no love lost for these guys. Also, you know, Luca, I'm happy for you. You play like James Harden in many ways, which is kind of cool. But people liked him, and they didn't like James Harden for reasons that I... we'll leave you to fill in the blank of whether or not they're racist. But, yeah, it's cool that we can have Kyrie down there, and the system is just probably not going to work. And now he's finally here in Texas, a land full of a lot of problems and weird people who are... All right, I'll put it this way. Texas is like the America of America. This is where the right wing tests out their stupid programs, and also where they openly attack and try to ruin the city of Austin at every opportunity, in which I live, by the way. I'm from Houston, but I live in Austin. So he's going to have a good time. If he wants to drive a few hours, and, you know, it's only 180 miles, only 180 miles between Austin and Dallas, Kyrie can come down and hang down with Alex Jones, who somehow lives...
Well, guess what, Sean? I know it's surprising, but the robot ran out of memory there, and Forrest had to continue his call. So here's the Alex Jones portion of Forrest's call.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's okay.
I wasn't quite done. So yeah, Alex Jones lives here, who is a crank that people thought was fun back in the 90s, but now that he has all his power, he's just like an absolute opportunist shithead who will happily peddle any belief as long as it'll make him a buck. He probably is gonna go on someone's podcast. Joe Rogan also is here in my backyard, who I guess I have to admit is like a little less bad than Alex Jones, but I don't love it. His podcast is pretty boring. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie came down here. It is a bit of a drive, though. I think people outside of Texas need to understand that Texas is really big. Y'all are California lads, so I think you can understand a big state, right? California is, like, even longer north to south than Texas is in any one particular cardinal direction. But Texas is big. The Texas Triangle, which has, like what, 29 million people in it, is, like, each leg of that triangle is, like, between 140 and 200 miles long. So that's a big old it's a big place, man. And Dallas and Houston don't like each other. Actually, no one in Texas likes Dallas except for Dallas. Only Dallas thinks Dallas is cool, and the people outside of Texas. Everyone else, well, small town people, I think, actually like Dallas. The city people, the good people, the cool people in Texas. Anyway, it's just fun. It kind of connects with the culture war stuff, and Texas is like a nice little hot seat of the culture war. Kyrie's kind of straddling that crevasse. He's kind of the missing chunk of the horseshoe in some ways, and then he's kind of gotten to like a lot of right wing beliefs through sort of a more anti-authoritarian, like I guess you could call it left leaning sort of questioning, which is common to a lot of Texas folks. A lot of Texas Republicans are like, we should be able to smoke weed, and also we should be able to be racist, and also no one should be able to like tell me that I have to trim my trees. And so we didn't trim our trees here for a long time, and then 2 tons of ice got on each tree, and all the power went out, and I sat in the dark for 5 days. So that's my opinion about the Kyrie Irving trade, is that if I have to sit in the dark for 5 days, then Kyrie Irving can wallow in mediocrity on the Dallas Mavericks for 5 years. I wish him nothing but the dumbest possible outcomes. All right, thank y'all. I wish the Rockets would ever be good again.
Well, Forrest, we're glad you have power, first off. Secondly, I did not think about Kyrie Irving going on the Joe Rogan podcast. That is absolutely going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's just under a 3-hour drive. It's far, but I mean, it's worth it for him. Dude. Yeah, I mean, he'll take a Hyperloop or something.
Yeah.
That's...
But more importantly... there was one famous Texan who did trim his trees, Sean.
Oh, yeah?
George W. Bush, that's all he would ever do stupid ranch.
Well,
instead of being president wars.
So apparently the Secret Service would do the actual tree trimming, and then George Bush would take a chainsaw and saw the tree trimmings into smaller pieces.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but at least
he has power, you know.
Yeah,
but you know, his hobbies don't require power. You don't need electricity to paint beautiful watercolor selfie nudes of yourself in the bathroom.
I do want to say, listeners, If you are without power for 5 days, which I also assume means you haven't spoken to anyone for 5 days, please feel free to call us up and leave us an 8-minute long voicemail talking about whatever you want. Forrest is always welcome to do that. We've told them that directly. No one makes me laugh quite like Forrest does. and yeah, good luck. Good luck, Luka Doncic, and the Houston, and also the Houston Rockets. All right, we have a call from our friend Henry about Oreos, Sean.
Hey guys, I'm sure you've seen the ad on NBA TV for how you can put all 30 teams' logos on an Oreo now, and they'll ship you like 9 Oreos with your team's logo on them. I assume you're as excited about this as I am. And I was just wondering what you think the best food product that you could customize with your favorite team's logo would be. Maybe it's Oreos, but I think there's some more frontiers that can be found in this space. Excited to hear what you think. Thanks.
All right, Sean. I'll let you answer first.
Okay.
What food item would be the best food item to have an NBA logo on? And you also, what logo?
Yeah. You know, the obvious one is like you'd put it on an M&M. You could put it on a cupcake. But those are kind of like, and also obviously your arch rival on a urinal cake. But I really think,
Sean, a urinal cake, it does have the word cake in it, but it's not a food item. You're right.
It has a food item. I forgot it was a food item. I started thinking about like things that Calvin.
You're not eating urinal cakes, are you?
No comment. Well, I was thinking of something else that wasn't a food item. So let me think now. This is, it's weird to think of like foods that you can print things on. It's kind of a more limited genre than I would have thought, actually, offhand, now that I'm like picturing a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess like I feel like a wheel of like some of those like little what do they call it when the it's like cheese that's in a round disc with wax on it.
Oh, those are
what do you call that?
Baby bells? Are those baby bells?
Baby bells.
Yeah.
I'd like to have like a Chicago Bull, like call them baby bulls and have the Chicago Bulls logo on them. Or if you really want to make them make baby bulls, Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler's faces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would like to see the Boston Celtics logo on a Papa made out of pepperoni on a Papa John's pizza. The most racist basketball team on the most racist pizza.
I also want to see it held by that the NBA mascot with the world's most demeaning job who realizes it's demeaning the least, the human leprechaun.
Yeah, the human leprechaun.
Just holding that up and, yeah, and like, yeah, yelling about Gino or Tommy points.
other good ones, I think. The cowboy hat Mavericks logo on a hamburger bun.
That would be good.
They like brand a hamburger bun.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Didn't they have that like crazy Dirk burger where that would have worked pretty well on that too.
Anyway, great question.
That was a good question.
Do not order 9 Oreos that get mailed to you though. I will also say that.
I feel like the Orlando Magic logo printed on anything makes it inedible.
See, I disagree. I like the Orlando Magic logo.
I do, but it.
I think it makes it cooler.
It might make it cooler. That is a logo to me that says inedible, though. Mm. Like this is a novelty product.
True. You this know is, what? You're is, right. You're right.
We included this to take the moisture out of the real thing. It in feels the
like a. It feels like a discontinued cereal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. All right.
All right. I do like the logo. Don't get me wrong.
We've got one more call. Okay. It's from our friend Sean O'Shea. And it's about a television show I have not started watching yet because everyone keeps telling me it's going to be my favorite television show. And I'm sure they're correct, but here we go.
Hi, Roundball Rock, Joey, Sean, the robot. What's up, Lakers fans? This is Sean O'Shea. I feel like, so, Kyrie is the Tulsa King. Like... But instead of, like, Sly Stallone being a mafioso who's been in prison, Kyrie is Kyrie. So my question for you is, who is the Paul T. Goldman of the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. I have watched Paul T. Goldman. It's awesome. I highly recommend it.
You haven't watched Tulsa King.
I have not watched Tulsa King because I know it's going to be my favorite show.
I've just seen the the thing is, he's absolutely correct that Kyrie is the Tulsa King. Mm-hmm. Like, he's from a guy from Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
transplanted into Texas. Mm-hmm. He's starting his own mafia.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna drive Luka Doncic out of town onto another team.
Mm-hmm. So Sean.
Yeah, I've seen the first episode of Paul T. Goldman.
Okay, so...
I have not seen the remainder of the
Paul
show.
Paul T. Goldman, for listeners, first off, watch Paul T. Goldman.
I also watched it because of this voicemail, by the way.
It's the... Paul T. Goldman is the closest thing you can get to Nathan Fielder without Nathan Fielder, I would say.
Yes.
It's really good. It's really funny. Shouts to Jason Walliner. It also ends up being very surprising and... touching as well, I would say.
Yeah, it has not gotten crazy yet, but yeah, it's based on a man who wrote
a crazy man
who wrote a story, wrote a book called Duplicity,
mm-hmm.
About being scammed by his ex-wife,
yeah.
who he was in a part-time marriage with.
And
but
not
he also
to spoil
plays
anything,
himself.
Sean.
Yeah.
But Paul T. Goldman, I am going to say, it is revealed later in the show that he might have some complicated feelings about women. I don't know if you... and by complicated, I mean not incorrect feelings about women.
I gotta say, that shines through pretty early, I think.
Yes.
But yes, he plays himself.
He's a man who got conned by his wife. And who then later gets conned by the filmmaker Jason Walliner.
Walliner, yeah.
into starring in this insane documentary / narrative about his life / the fiction he wrote.
I mean, the editing where they have him reading something from a book, saying it as a commentary, as an actor between takes, and then saying it as the actor... playing himself, that's some real Nathan. It actually feels more like the rehearsal, honestly.
Yes,
but.
there's a sequence in Paul T. Goldman that is so funny, where this actor plays a fake author that Paul T. Goldman made up. It's his pen name, but it's an author that he just made up. And he does it, he plays it straight, and then Jason Walliner says cut and says, actually, could you just say those lines like Paul would? And then the actor proceeds to do the meanest impression of this man to his face that I've ever seen.
Yeah, they'll have a scene and then the actor will be like, so what are we doing? This is like if you put a kid in a movie.
Yeah.
To answer this question, I believe...
Who is the NBA player that gets tricked the most? That's really what we're...
What I believe we're talking about is somebody who has done a poor job of myth-making on their own behalf, mm-hmm. who has been a supporting character to some potentially strange things,
mm-hmm.
and then is forced to become an actor in his own personal drama without realizing that he's the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Kendrick Perkins, Joey. And Kendrick Perkins will go on TV and a former teammate will take to social media and say the meanest thing you've ever heard about that player.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendrick Perkins's reaction will be to apologize, get angry, and then like make up another lie all within like mm-hmm. 10 minutes. But yep. like Kevin Durant has written the meanest things about Kendrick Perkins I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Serge Ibaka go after anyone and he shredded Kendrick Perkins. It's amazing. And he is like this zealot figure
mm-hmm.
on these important teams, scoring 2.5 points a night and believing that he's the main character
mm-hmm.
in his life story.
Now, Sean, I went a similar route.
Okay.
But I leaned more into the sadness of Paul T. Goldman.
Okay.
And I think the NBA's Paul T. Goldman is Austin Rivers.
Oh, yeah, especially and, like that fight this year.
And that television show is his Ringer podcast, where he talks about how Steph Curry is impossible to guard because of the refs or whatever.
Wait, he has a podcast on the Ringer?
Yes, he does.
Why would you do that?
There's no one
I feel like who has less authority than Austin Rivers to talk about the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Doc Rivers.
It's called Off Guard with Austin Rivers.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, I do think Austin Rivers is a tough player, but he is someone who has the most deluded idea of himself as a basketball player since Kendrick Perkins.
Mm-hmm. anyway, watch Paul T. Goldman. I will watch The Tulsa King. I swear. I know I'm going to love it.
Yeah, what is it? I actually don't. Is it on Peacock?
No, it's on Paramount Plus. It's part of. It's not Yosemite, but it's like Yosemite. You know what I mean?
It's it's in the. I understand what you're saying.
But Paul T. Goldman is on Peacock. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Sean, we got to do the news really quickly because we have a long thing we need to do.
Yes.
We have to get to our All-Star preview.
Oh, okay.
But let's do the news real quick.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. It's buyout season.
Yeah.
And you had some people you wanted to talk about. You have some buyouts wanted to talk about real quick.
Just briefly, I want to talk about one buyout, and then mm-hmm. we'll go through the other ones briefly. Kevin Love, shockingly, is no longer a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm. They made those construction workers take a break to watch him sign his extension. Remember when they did that?
I mean, it's wild. He had a contract that people considered an absolute anchor, an untradeable thing. Last year, he was second in the Sixth Man of the Year vote, and people were speculating that he would get an extension, and then he fell out of the rotation. Now, he did break his thumb, I believe, this year,
mm-hmm.
but he officially lost his rotation spot to Dean Wade,
mm-hmm.
which is rough. So it seems like Kevin Love
Dean Wade sounds like, by the way, someone who would have starred on the television show like Farscape.
Yeah. Dean Wade's Farscape. Or like
what was the one Stargate SG?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
or like an author of like teenager hard PG fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Anyway, back to Kevin Love. You have some questions.
So he's no longer a Cav, and they haven't really said where he's going to sign.
Shams implied the Heat. Yes.
Yeah, he said that the Heat were interested. That does not mean Kevin Love. It would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe they couldn't. Nobody can actually say anything until the buyouts. I don't even know. But so Joey, as you know, as we all know, mm-hmm. Kevin Love's uncle is Mike Love, mm-hmm. the leader and creative force that drove the Beach Boys for its entire history, mm-hmm. the auteur behind Kokomo and everything that happened after Brian Wilson. After all the things that anyone cares about, Mike Love is responsible for them.
Yeah.
Joey, what destination that Kevin Love could go to would lead to Mike Love showing up at the most games?
Well, Sean, there's two options.
Okay.
One is, first off, Sean, do you know where Mike Love lives?
I don't. And I resisted looking it up today.
Mike Love lives in Lake Tahoe, California.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But you want to know why? Because he very clearly saw The Godfather Part 2 and dreamed of taking Brian Wilson out on a boat on the lake and shooting him in the head.
Oh, man, he is a really lake guy. Oh, man, he's definitely like always goes to a place and orders whatever their like signature cocktail that was invented mm-hmm. for the mafia in the 50s. Like,
yeah,
like the Wet Willie.
So, yeah. Okay. Obviously, and I actually think Kevin Love would be a good fit there. It would be the Sacramento Kings if we want to go actually geographic.
Right, because he'd stop in and...
Because it's not that far from
Lake
Tahoe.
It's not really that far. No.
But the other option
uh-huh.
is, of course, the closest NBA team... to Kokomo, the city yeah. in Indiana, is of course the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the fictional island.
No,
which is now
the real Kokomo. I'm talking, of course, about the real Kokomo. It's in Indiana. It's famous for nothing.
I'll tell you this: I think he'd be a fit on the team with the fans, white. Especially. Yes, yes, Joey. He's white and he shoots. Throwing those outlet passes to Tyrese Halliburton. Yelling at Buddy Hield, getting real frustrated with him.
Sean, I gotta say, weird season for that UCLA team that had Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love on it, huh?
Yeah, like is Aaron Aflalo okay? Is Luke Richard Mba Amute going to lose his... Presumably he has a job with an NBA organization. Doesn't he seem like absolutely a guy who becomes a coach mm-hmm. after his playing career?
Sure does. Well, except he's
a Ryan prince. Hollins. What's Ryan Hollins up to?
Well, Darren Collison, Sean. You're forgetting Darren Collison.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Although, what is Josh Shipp doing? That's what I want to know. All right.
No, the Shipp family, the Pac-12 dynasty who got mad at every... The family got mad at every college where a Shipp brother went, and they almost ran out of schools by the end. Okay, so I have one more question. And this is... okay, imagine... You have Kevin Love's body and talent,
mm-hmm.
but you have Mike Love's brain and soul mm-hmm. in there. What is the ideal destination for Mike Kevin Love?
As a, like, at this point in his career, is that what you're talking about? Like, because...
Yeah, like now.
The Philippines. Like he would be out of the league. No, he would be Dwight Howard.
He'd be
no
like,
one would sign him.
Do you think
he would be on his eighth team? Are you fucking kidding me?
Do you think he's like, he would be like shaving points in the Philippines too?
He'd be trying to set some, like, honestly. He would score 100 points in a game and then the rest of his career talk about how he's as good as Wilt Chamberlain.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That is what that guy would do.
he'd be like, whatever team promised him the most flattering bobblehead would be like where he is signed. Yeah.
Because also the guy you're just describing is Rick Barry. He exists.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. yeah, you're right. He would be sitting there.
Rick Barry and Mike Love are the same person.
Wow. Right. Yep.
Except Rick Barry is actually talented. All right.
I'm going to quickly say a buyout guy, and you just need to real.
Well, Sean, there's one guy on the buyout market. I guess it's more the tryout market. He's on the same market as Darren Collison is. I don't know if you saw the news.
Uh-huh.
But did you see who tried out for the Dallas Mavericks 2 days ago?
I did not.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Wow. Oh, I did see that. Yeah. His heart is just okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Very quickly, Danny Green went to the Cleveland Cavaliers, mm-hmm. perhaps facilitating this buyout.
Coming home.
His original team. Reggie Jackson went to the Denver Nuggets.
Also coming home.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he went to Colorado.
Oh.
He went to CU Boulder. He's like all stoked to go back. And he had the funniest quote a buyout guy has ever had.
Oh, that was funny.
Today,
yeah.
Where he said, I'm just happy to be on the first place team in the West, not the sixth place team in the West.
It also feels like maybe it's just very weird that Denver traded a point guard to the Clippers in a deal where they got second round picks back, mm-hmm. and then like made a separate side trade with the Lakers. And then they just sort of got Reggie Jackson anyway. It was almost like he was actually in the trade.
Also,
and
sorry, I Michael had Jordan that to wrong. Jump on board. He didn't go to Colorado. He went to Boston College, but he grew up in Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it just felt, like, it's really weird when a guy like directly a trade between two point guards, but they just needed the Hornets to like get involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. Terrence Ross, one of our favorites, is now a Phoenix Sun.
I mean, cool.
Shout out to Raptors Nation.
Is he better than Damian Lee now, though?
I mean, it was wild. Someone was like, yeah, he was on the Orlando Magic for 7 years.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it, but it's true. 7 years in Orlando. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was in Toronto for 7 years, Joey.
No, he was not.
Yet I still think of him as a Raptor. Justin Holiday joined the Dallas Mavericks.
Seems like a team he would have been on already.
Right, right. Like, I was like, they have to have a guy named Justin at all times. And Dwayne Dedmon has joined the Philadelphia 76ers. Again, a team I felt like he might have been on two or three times.
Well,
already.
Also, a funny thing about that is that feels like a signing built just to make Sixers fans mad. Because
right.
Guess who is Doc Rivers is going to play him too much and B-ball Paul not at all. And those fans are going to be so mad.
I love that Dwayne Dedmon was like underrated for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and now has hung around the league like six more
years.
Yeah,
and he like
the whole time,
and everyone hates all the fans, all the teams who root for him hate him.
Yeah, it's like literally the teams hate him. That's the thing that's rare. It's like usually a guy that's bouncing around the league is like kind of fun to be around or whatever, mm-hmm. but like. I think Hassan Whiteside is very frustrating, but he does not seem to be personally disliked by his teammates ever, just by fans, analysts, and front offices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, still pending, Joey, Patrick Beverley.
Mm-hmm.
Where should he go?
Special Forces World's Toughest Test Season 2.
Oh. I think he'd make it through. Well, actually, they would not like him. He would get black bagged. all the time. I think he should go to the Washington Wizards, just because I think he could lead them to at least one play-in victory. Serge Ibaka?
Serge Ibaka should go where the fashion takes him. You know,
I think he should. Like, I think, yeah, I think he should go to New Orleans, actually, for the food.
It's pretty good. I was going to say, what about the Knicks as like Mitchell Robinson insurance? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a little ambassador.
Tibbs would love Serge Ibaka. Plus, he could go to Fashion Week.
I like that for him.
I just want Serge to be happy.
Yeah. Stanley Johnson.
Wherever he can stick in the league, man.
Yeah, Canton Charge. I'm saying the Canton Charge. And then John Wall.
I actually have a good one for this. I actually think John Wall should go to the Orlando Magic.
That'd be tight.
You know, like him and Fultz as your 1-2 punch in the as the one. That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. That is fun.
And I really think he could really revive his career, run some really run with those fun guys.
What are you saying? You don't believe in Cole Anthony, Joey?
I don't believe dunk in Cole champion. Anthony. No,
he's not a
I
dunk
don't
champion.
Like Cole Anthony. He did dunk in Timberlands, which
yeah, that
was not cool.
Endeared him to no one.
Let's again just proof. That some things that New Yorkers think are cool, the rest of the country does not. All right. it's the water. That's what makes Cole Anthony cool. All right. So, Sean, that was us talking about Kevin Love and mm-hmm. some of the other buyout guys who have since signed with some people. Do you want to talk about some where some of those buyout guys went?
I just want to talk about two former Lakers okay. and where they went. Russell Westbrook is mm-hmm. now a Clipper, Joey. I don't know that he ever had to leave LA. Like I'm guessing this is the kind of deal where Utah just waives the physical.
Right, yeah.
Cuz they bought him out for every penny of his contract.
I think I have an alternate take on this signing than some people do. Like,
okay,
Zach Lowe on his podcast today was like yelling about how bad this is. Uh-huh. And it's like, this is a total low upside thing for the Clippers. Like, if they don't have to play Russell Westbrook. They're not like the Lakers here. Like, if he doesn't work, they just play more Eric Gordon, like, or Terrence Mann, or Norm Powell, like...
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you can say you play those guys, but, like, Eric Gordon's not a point guard, and neither is Norm Powell, and...
and neither is Terrence Mann!
Right, so, I mean, I understand the idea that you want to get a point guard, and here's the thing about the Clippers are, like, the opposite of the Lakers when it comes to their perimeter approaches. Mm-hmm. They have a bunch of guys who take tons and tons of three-pointers, perhaps too many, in fact. Even Paul George. Paul George is a very good three-point shooter, but he shoots a lot of them.
Yeah.
Even Kawhi Leonard is not really going to the rack. Mm-hmm. He's going to the mid-range.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Russell Westbrook, he still relentlessly goes to the rim. And he and LeBron kind of figured out that when they were both in the game, they just basically drove all the time because, mm-hmm. you know, so that was terrible on the Lakers because the Lakers had no one else who could shoot threes. Like LeBron can't really shoot threes. Anthony Davis can't really shoot threes. Many of the guys on the team couldn't shoot threes. On the Clippers, it just doesn't matter as much. Like,
right.
Everybody else on the team can shoot threes.
Like, Zach Lowe was yelling about, like, oh, they hated John Wall so much. They're just going to have the same problem as John Wall. And it's like, no, not really. Because now, instead of not playing him, they play more Eric Gordon instead of Luke Kennard. Like, I just don't understand, like, or Reggie Jackson. Like, I just don't think, like, and Russell Westbrook has to know that if this doesn't work, it's the end of his career, right? Like,
well, and also he played with Paul George for 2 years.
Yeah, and one Paul of those George years, was like Paul an MVP like, candidate.
He was third in the MVP vote their second year together.
Yeah.
And I mean, they are reuniting a Thunder team that kept losing in the first round, but was also a Thunder team that was doing their best. Like, yeah,
they weren't very deep.
They were not very deep, no.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they also had a guy with like, they had like a 25-year-old basically go out of the league with a terrible knee injury.
Yeah.
You know, Andre Roberson would have been a little help. Anyway, I'm not defending those Thunder teams, but like the Clippers don't really have a point guard. That's the difference. It's right. Not like the Lakers choosing, you know, not to get shooters and getting Westbrook instead. Here it's like, I think he understands that he doesn't have to shoot that much. He wasn't even shooting that much this year, yeah. Honestly. So I kind of think, well, I have two thoughts. One of them is, okay, so I don't think it's clear that he's really going to be treated like a minimum salary player. But at the same time, there's really no downside.
You're right. Like, they just cannot play him. Like,
yeah,
if
exactly.
It doesn't work.
But I also think it works that just like LeBron had for a year and a half, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard now have a built-in scapegoat for when they lose in the second round of the playoffs. And that's very important as well. Like the LA media is already ready to blame Westbrook for everything. He again was not really the reason the Lakers were bad this year. Mm-hmm. He wasn't good, but like, you know, he also played mm-hmm. all the games. So yeah, mainly my thought is the Clippers will fail for different reasons.
Yeah,
they'll still fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's correct.
It's also funny that like this triumvirate that Westbrook wasn't sure if he wanted to sign with the Clippers and Patrick Beverley like recruited him to a team he wasn't on, which is kind of great. And basically they traded John Wall for Russell Westbrook, which stunningly has happened twice.
I assume you want to talk about the other guy you just mentioned, right?
Yeah, real quickly.
Pat Bev is a Bull, finally.
Yeah, the Bulls are back in town,
buddy.
He looks
like the logo. He's from there.
Yeah, he's literally from, like, he went to high school 1.7 yeah. miles away from the United Center.
The problem is he's there about 8 years too late, because young Pat Beverly would have played 48 minutes a game under Tom Thibodeau when Derrick Rose was injured.
And you know, he wanted to go too when he yeah. was in. There's an old tweet for him in 2012 when he's stuck in Russia. He was not able to leave Russia for like 6 months. So I mm-hmm. think that's why. I think he actually might have joined the Bulls, but he couldn't get out of his contract. And then he ended up on the Rockets in like January of 2013. So, yeah, he's finally there. I mean, really what this is, first of all, the Chicago Bulls are just not good. They just aren't good.
Yeah.
This isn't going to move the needle. I personally think, I mean, this is not feasible because of their veteran heavy team, and it's not fair to really do this to DeMar DeRozan. They would be so much better off if they could just become the fifth worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And they'd almost have a 50% chance of keeping their pick. But mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. The Orlando Magic should not let that happen, considering they have their own pick and the Bulls pick if it doesn't end up there. But it's just it is rough which young guys they decided to keep and get rid of, Joey.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Lauri Markkanen was ever going to work anywhere but Utah. to be fair,
I mean, he probably would not have been an all-star, but. It's just like,
and also Wendell Carter had to leave at that point too. Like, I get the sentiment where it's like Patrick Williams and Kobe White are still there and Wendell Carter and Markkanen are not. But like, it was just a gross mess there already. Like, I don't know. Like, I kind of think people are being a little hard on the Bulls this year. Like, last year they were really fun, but Lonzo Ball and Caruso have been really hurt, and Zach LaVine's just not the same guy, and there was, like, no predicting that, I don't think.
Well, I mean, he did have knee surgery before.
Yes, but I mean when they traded the pick for Vucevic 2 years ago, like, there was just no...
I feel like that was a huge misread of Nikola Vucevic.
Sure. Yo, for sure. I just mean, like, I don't know what else they could have done this year.
Yeah, I mean,
to have this not happen.
I don't think they could have predicted the Lonzo thing. Like getting Lonzo, Caruso, and DeRozan all seem good. It's more like in hindsight, they really picked the wrong two guys.
Yeah, I just don't think those guys would work if they stayed in Chicago either, because all their fans already hated them by the time they were traded. Like,
I just wonder if they got to play with, like, Lonzo and DeRozan, you know, and a real coach.
Maybe. I think at a certain point, it's like James Wiseman in Golden State. Like, a guy's just not going to work there when a young guy's just not going to work there when they're there too long. Like, the well gets soured, and it was definitely soured for Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter.
I just feel like you're not wrong in general, but Jim Boylan is a different beast.
That is fair.
Like, those two Jim Boylan years are, like, not indicative of anything. That's like...
Yeah, if we could go back in time.
That's basically got out of prison.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the thing, is if you're a Chicago Bulls fan and you could have a time machine, you're not using that time machine to get rid of to keep Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter. You're using it to not hire Jim Boylan to not trade Jimmy Butler. Like, there are years and years of, like, horrible malpractice here that, to me, outrank, like, Lauri Markkanen's weird fluke Utah season and Wendell Carter being, like, a pretty good NBA starter, like everybody knew he eventually would be.
But it is, I think that occasionally when you have these, like, I mean, obviously guys can't, like, you can't be on a terrible team for too long or you're just broken. But when there's such an obvious cause to things being terrible, I think you need to be a little more patient afterwards. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
But again, if the Boylan era had not been quite as bad, they wouldn't have had as much pressure to make big moves. And so Patrick Beverley, I have one question for you here.
Sure.
We are the Bulls are now set up. They're in 11th place.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the funniest team for Chicago to beat in a 9-10 play-in game to cause a crazy Patrick Beverley celebration?
The Orlando Magic.
Yeah. It's like, buy this out. That would be amazing. I love the idea.
Like, the whole pick thing. Like,
God, I want every buyout guy to, like, beat the team that got rid of him. Like, yeah. Like, Clippers beating the Lakers in round one. Yeah, Bulls taking out the Magic in the play-in.
We would need the Bulls and Magic to leapfrog some teams.
They're going to have to get a little bit better. it doesn't seem like, but I feel like they could each of them could catch the Washington Wizards.
Well, there is real news with one of these teams we need to talk about.
Sean. Oh yeah,
and it's with the Atlanta Hawks. Guess who's back, Sean?
It's Joe.
Prunty's back. Prunty's back.
The original playoff P.
Joe Prunty, one of the worst coaches I've ever seen, is back as a head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Sean.
He replaced Jason Kidd after his pizzeria firing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, ironically, he was replaced in Milwaukee with another coach that Atlanta got rid of by mistake, Mike Budenholzer. So he'll be coaching the rest of the season. The rumor is that they want to hire Quinn Snyder this offseason.
Well, it's not Halloween, so
yeah, he's got to decide on his costume choices. We need to figure out a little more about how he was celebrating Halloween.
Yeah, I'm serious.
But Joey, if you're Quinn Snyder, you can probably have your pick of open jobs. I would think. And possibly you can coach the San Antonio Spurs whenever Greg Popovich decides to hang it up. Is the Atlanta Hawks a situation that you would want to take on?
With their 27-year-old owner trading all their stuff? No.
Hiring his friends? Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, basically refusing to go all in or to have a youth movement. Like, making an all-in trade for an all-star, trading four picks, three picks in a pick swap, and then trading your starting shooting guard, who was your best three-point shooter the year before. Like, these... It's just weird. They seem half-assed all the time. Like,
also, they are constantly trying to trade their third best player, then not doing it at the last moment, which is just depressing for him.
Well, and in the middle of it, they signed him to a giant long-term contract in between his various trips to the trading block. And so it's just weird. They have this team that is... They think is better than it is, and a bunch of young guys they think are better than they are, and then they have a bunch of sort of project young guys.
What I will say,
they're trying to two timeline it, but they don't have either timeline.
Sean, who is the most Quinn Snyder player on the Atlanta Hawks? Because I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, I mean, he loves coaching a Bogdanovich.
See, I was gonna say it's Onyeka Okongwu is the most Quinn Snyder player possible. Weird team. Wouldn't want that job.
I wouldn't take it, Quinn.
I wouldn't take the Spurs job if I were Quinn either. The Spurs job, you are just waiting in line for people to tell you you're not as good as Greg Popovich and then get fired after 3 years.
I mean, because
they don't have anything... Like, okay, if they get Victor Wembanyama, then you want that. Then you want that job. But like, you don't want that job if they don't.
Well, I don't know if Quinn Snyder wants to like join a team that's ready to make the playoffs, or if he wants to like start a new thing. And the Spurs appeal is like it's basically a clean slate.
Yeah, but again, it's not that clean of a slate because you're constantly standing in the shadow of Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich.
But, like, I mean, he worked there before. I know.
Sure.
I still would prefer that to the Hawks, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, he could maybe coach like...
I just think there's going to be fired, some... But... I think there's going to be some better jobs opening up.
I mean, that is definitely a possibility, Joey.
Also, RIP Nate McMillan. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite... coaches, actually, like he coaches like it's still 2007, but whatever. It's cool that every year, every time he takes over a team midseason, he ends up getting a 3-year job because they do so well, and then 2 years later, everyone is like, "This guy is a massive asshole. Please fire him."
Yeah, so he gets an extra 2 years of salary, and ironically was fired because of how good a job he did in 2021 in the playoffs, and then the team returned to their correct level, I would say, of 500, and Trae Young has now gotten two coaches fired so far, so that's pretty good for him. Like, directly got them fired.
Sean, is that our episode?
I think that's our episode.
Patreon.com/roundrockpod. Email us at roundrockpod. Call us on the phone at the number in the description. Buy our t-shirts at the Tee Public store. The link in the description of the episode. Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug? You do stuff.
Yeah, read me Golden State of Mind, Yard Barker, Giants Baseball Insider. And then on my next show, Saturday, March 4th, you can see me at a show called Nut House at the Golden Squirrel Pub in Oakland, California. It's on College Avenue.
All right. And then as for me, you can always follow me at Frankie Muniz on Twitter, where on February 18th, I tweeted, "Holy moly! That was the most insane thing I've ever done. Got up into the top three before getting turned and causing damage. Went to the back and went from 24th to 11th in the final two laps. I'm so grateful to my team and at Hair Club and sponsors for making my dream a reality." NASCAR.
Is he getting hair again?
He does. He is a Hair Club guy now. Yeah.
Because he was like shaving his head.
They also sponsor his. He has a Hair Club hair now. Yeah. And they also sponsor his race car. Sean, did you write a song?
I love everything about it. I don't have a new one this week, dude. Sorry,
what do you want? That's, I don't care. You don't have to be. Don't sound so sad.
I don't know why I got so bummed about it.
Apologize for not having a song. It's a lot of work.
Can you play Mid-Range Life?
Sure. Love Russell Westbrook. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Just because he made the dunk, he won the dunk contest, doesn't mean Mac McClung is a good basketball player. Don't get tricked. Bye.
After the trade, the deal, the swaps, the picks, Russ comes to town, but there's one thing that I can't predict. Westbrook's gonna take some shots that'll make Daryl Morey sick. Within the three-point arc and outside the elbows, it's the way he's heaving. Mike D'Antoni's leaving, make a miss. It's all that Russ knows, and he's never ever gonna change. I want mid-range life. He's going to H-Town. If the shots don't go down, they're audited in the crown. I want mid-range life. He's going to H-Town. Chris Paul was getting round. James Harden's gonna pound the ball. You know, Russell Westbrook may be a little overrated as a basketball player, but he's an excellent fantasy basketball player. Take it from me, fantasy basketball maniac Stephen Malkmus. Lose to the Dubs, the Jazz, the Nets, the Heat. Steal free throw rebounds, the drive in. Shoot from 20 feet unless you do. James Harden stepping back, and he's gonna let it fly from deep. Down on the baseline, Capella is open, but Russ is taking a dude one-on-one. He's pulling up, and there's absolutely no chance. He's getting the ball to the cup. It's funny, he's 5'4", 20. He's Russell Westbrook. What did you expect? I want mid-range life. He's going to H-Town. If the shots don't go down, they're auditing the crown. I want mid-range life. He's going to H-Town. Chris Paul is getting round, and Tillman is a clown.
When I wrote the song, Cut Your Hair, it was because I had a strange dream premonition about a disappointing young point guard named Elfrid Payton, and it came true. Also, Shady Lane is about Derrick Rose's street. On the road with the Houston Rockets, Russ spot up, no way he's getting buckets, I don't understand.
this weird team, and I doubt they'll beat the Bucks. OKC Thunder, they're elegant frackers, they're not an 8 seed to me, are they an 8 seed to you? Don't shoot the 3, cause there's absolutely nothing Morey hates like inefficiency. You know, on that Smashing Pumpkins tour, Billy Corgan dunked on one of the Beastie Boys' friends. It was incredible. They threatened to beat up our drummer. Man, that guy's a fucking prick. The Swan's pretty tight, though.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.